Radio.com. Get in the game.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome into the game. I'm Tyler Dreiling, joined by Mitch Fortner and, for a limited time only, Corey Dean with us as well. On today's show, we'll talk about opening day at Kauffman Stadium. Corey was in attendance and sure looked on TV as if it the game itself was not very fun, but everything else looked pretty amazing. The pregame festivities and then, of course, the memorial, the remembrance to the late Yordano Ventura. We're going to talk to Corey in just a second about what that experience was like in person. A couple of notable press conferences taking place at Kansas State today. Bruce Weber meeting with the media to discuss his thoughts after having a chance to reflect on the previous season. Plus, he talks about K-State's philosophy moving forward, trying to add some new players to the mix for 2017 and 18. Also, the normal Snyder press conference for spring football was filled in by Sean Snyder, as the elder Snyder was in Kansas City for some health-related treatment things going on today. So you'll have some highlights from what Sean Snyder had to say to the media today. We'll also be joined by K-State women's soccer coach Mike DeBeanie. We'll be calling in to join us and discuss the Wildcats 2017 season, the schedule for which was released earlier today. If you want to give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Yesterday afternoon, the Royals lost 2-0. They lost 2-0 to the Oakland Athletics in the home opener. That's after returning from a road trip in which they went 2-4, had a chance to sweep the Astros on Sunday, unable to get that done in extra innings. And while the Royals losing that game and falling to 2-5 on the season is not ideal, and you still have to continue to be a little bit concerned about the way the season is trajecting at this point, I was not interested in what happened yesterday as much for the game itself. It was what happened before the game. I wanted to see all the ways that the Royals were going to honor Yordano Ventura, along with going through the normal opening day festivities. And from someone who was not there, it looked like it was an almost overwhelming moment at times before the game. But you were there, had the chance to see it in person on a picture-perfect day weather-wise at Kauffman Stadium. What was it like?
Well, it was just kind of – I've never been to opening day before. So it was kind of a bucket list item anyway, just to go. And it's just unique on a weekday day game to go to Kansas City and have it treated basically like a playoff game. They open the parking lots at 9 in the morning for a 3 o'clock first pitch. And as folks in Kansas City do, they were, you know, the grills were bumping when we got there at like 11:30 or noon. So it was already going full swing. The stadium itself, like, everyone wanted to get in time they were going to start the pregame festivities about a little after 2 o'clock. And the lines at the gates were just like, if you've been to KC during a playoff game, it was like that, where it's just backed up all the way back to like the little rocks that kind of block you out and push right. You into line as you head in. So it was packed to get in. They started, of course, they're introducing both teams, which is fantastic. But as they're introducing all of the Kansas City players, it did take a serious note because of Yordano Ventura and his mom throughout the first pitch, which was super classy. They've got the Ace 30 logo out by the Royals Hall of Fame that's out there, but they brought out a banner and put that behind the pitcher's mound. The giant flag is out in the outfield. But they brought out a single saxophone player, and he's a guy who's played the national anthem a couple times at Kauffman when I've been there. But they played Amazing Grace while they showed like a video photo montage on the Jumbotron. And that's the part that was really actually not only was it super classy way to do it, but it just kind of made you realize how young Yordano really was. You know, I mean, it's all just pictures of him smiling and palling around in the clubhouse and all that stuff. And he was such kind of a, he was burned really bright for a while, right? You know, and especially that first World Series run in 14, he was just such a key element to that. And then to pass so quick. So it really was a pretty moving moment there. And, of course, they do the national anthem. Melissa Etheridge sang it. They flew a B-2 bomber over for a flyover and fireworks and the whole thing. It was pretty awesome. You could tell the team was kind of pretty affected by the whole thing too. Completely different than when and I wasn't in person last year, but to watch opening day last year, totally different thing. Obviously, when you're coming off a World Series, that's both of those opening days were super festive. Everybody's really excited. The fans are geeked. And after this was over, the fans were almost like the atmosphere in the stadium. While you're excited for opening day, it what kind of did bring everything down a little bit. And you could tell, especially the Royals dugout was heavily affected by watching the video tribute to Yordano.
Yeah, that's something that was pointed out. Was Ned Yost said after the game that there were tears in the dugout beforehand. And, you know, I actually was tied up while the opening festivities were happening. I went back and watched them after the game on MLB.com, but I was only watching the game at first, and so I was seeing the Royals not get a lot done offensively. They did not have very many base runners yesterday. Cotton did a great job for Oakland in his start, seven shutout innings. And I was pretty frustrated, and I'm like, man, you know, you'd think that they would have a little bit more energy. They'd have a little bit more fight in them for Yordano and everything like that. But once I went back and watched those videos afterwards about what exactly transpired before the game, it made me think, man, if I were in that position, would I be able to go up there and have a really focused at-bat? Probably not.
Well, and at some point you think they probably start to press a little bit too, because they're trying to get a win on opening it because of all the stuff that's gone on
right
before the game. So you could feel kind of the pressure crank up on the team as the game went along. Ian Kennedy threw a great game. He threw two bad pitches. One was the bloop single, and then, of course, you leave one out that gets hit out of the park. On a lot of days, that's a long out. It's blowing out to right field, so it holds that ball up. It gets out, and the flip is, you know, the one that Salvador Perez is probably out most days, and that one stays in the ballpark. Right. So it was just – it was not an ideal day of baseball. You're kind of concerned. I'm kind of concerned, too. It's like we're wasting some awfully good starting pitching right now.
It's true.
That's my bigger concern. It was cool. I would absolutely 100% recommend, if you haven't done opening day, do it, but do it right. You know, take the whole day off, get out there early, enjoy what makes, I think, Kansas City baseball great is the fact that, you know, all the tailgating atmosphere and stuff, where it's just treated different at Kauffman Stadium because of where the stadium is and how the parking works and everything. But spend the whole day out there, man. It was fantastic.
Yeah, you just have to separate the story of what was happening from the game itself yesterday. I mean, you can talk about the game and be concerned about the Royals being 2-5, and the fact that, as I look at the Royals stats right here in front of me, there are zero players that are batting .300 right now.
There's only two guys that seem to be batting at all.
Right, and that would be Mike Moustakas and Salvador Perez. That's it. And I realize that, you know, seven games into the season, those statistics are going to be very skewed, and they can go in huge extremes from one game to the next. But the point is, you know, you've got Eric Hosmer that's batting .179, Gordon's at .207, and eventually those are going to start to matter, the fact that they have not elevated those. And that is a very different conversation from talking about the festivities before the game, because the Royals are used to having some sort of distraction on their opening day, because, again, this is the third time in 4 years that there has been something like, or the third year in a row, I should say.
A larger pregame than normal.
Right, exactly. Now, there's a huge difference emotionally between getting a World Series ring before a game and honoring a fallen teammate before a game. I totally get that. But I'm saying that the Royals, in terms of standing out there with a huge American flag and having just a lot of extra noise going on, that isn't new to them.
You know, and the other thing, we talked a little bit about some of the guys that went with me to the game, and if this wouldn't have been easier if the Royals would have opened at home, because you would have got this out of the way. I think this team kind of had to live this twice,
right?
Because you had to actually start the season without Ace, mm-hmm. and then you had to relive it at home again without Ace, with his mom throwing out the first pitch. So, I think that this almost had to happen to the team two times, because you kind of find him missing more than once, and I think that would be tough too.
And now you hope that that now, with both of those occurrences in the rearview mirror, that the Royals can focus up and figure out everything moving forward, and they have an opportunity to get that done. I mean, they play the Athletics for a couple more games, a team that's not supposed to compete in the AL West this year. They're going to play the Angels as a part of this homestand as well, a team that's certainly shaky. So they've got a chance here to start to get things trending in the right direction, because now that they have all – I think that all through spring training, the team was worried about what kind of emotional state they would be in for these first seven games dealing with all this. Now it's behind you. There aren't going to be any more of these ceremonies going forward. You can focus on baseball. You can truly turn the page on this. And we'll see if that's what they really need to get things working with the offense and with the bullpen, the two elements that have been the most concerning thus far. I think it'll help a little bit. I don't think that they're suddenly going to be, you know, winning nine games in a row or anything like that.
No, but you're, you know, baseball is so
yeah, baseball.
It's so difficult. Hey, but you're really, you're, you know, you're a few pitches away, literally a few pitches away right now from having won your last couple games. Because if, you know, Herrera doesn't hang a slider, you sweep the Astros.
And that was a home run that does not, as
Ned Yost
said,
doesn't get out of Kauffman.
Yeah, it doesn't get out of any other ballpark.
So, you know, I mean, that was kind of a, it's not a fluke, but you kind of hate the way you see that one had. I think yesterday was a very winnable ball game, even though, you know, the A's brought out a starter who's just going to be a, seemingly, as a rookie, going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really ready to judge anything yet, but, man, you are really wasting some pretty good starting pitching right now, because the starters have been good. One of the things we really were kind of concerned about was a little bit of the starting pitching, and that's been good, just haven't hit, and oof, man, it's kind of scary when you got to hand the ball off late in the game.
By the way, today we are reliving again, for the second time in a week, one of my biggest pet peeves in baseball, and that is the day off after opening day. The Royals had that.
Twice.
They had it twice, because they opened in Minnesota last week, and then they had a day off, and now after their opening day at home, they've got another day off. They'll be back in action tomorrow night at Kauffman Stadium. It'll be Jason Hamill making his second start with KC against the Athletics, and you know, something else to consider as we move forward here is the Royals have to shore up the bottom of that lineup. I mentioned some of the guys that aren't hitting that we expect to, but like Brandon Moss, you can't have a DH that's batting under 100. His one hit is very good. It was a great one, but you got to shore that up.
And Mondesi can't hit right now either.
Raul Mondesi has
got one yesterday. It was like seeing a unicorn.
Yeah, you don't expect – I mean, you're not asking Mondesi to bat 280. We know that he's not going to bat 280, but
him to hit 200 would be
great. Right. 200 would be nice, or 230, 240, somewhere in there. but yeah, they're at the bottom of that lineup. Paulo Orlando has not done well in right field thus far. We'll see when Jorge Soler gets back.
Yeah.
So again, it is nice to be able to talk more actual, tangible baseball now and not the emotional stuff as much. But as it is, the Royals have not handled things that well thus far. They are 2-5 to start a very pivotal season for the franchise.
They've got all the video stuff from yesterday over at the Royals webpage. If you haven't seen it and you're a big Royals fan, the tribute to Yordando is well worth taking the 4 or 5 minutes watch today.
The Royals also made a couple of roster moves today, sent a couple guys down to the minor leagues. We'll get into that more in the second hour of the show. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, we'll talk to the head coach of K-State Women's Soccer, Mike DeBeany. His team's schedule was released today. I've got some questions for him on that as they're about to play their first full schedule in program history. When we come back, Bruce Weber met with the media today to talk about his reflections on the year that was and what K-State needs to do moving forward to take that next step. You'll hear that coming up next on The Game.